I look to my right and Jesus walks through those doors. The physical person of Jesus, it's a physical man.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. Oh, thank you for tuning in today. Today we're going to extend, increase your faith, your insight into the nature and actions of God as He deals with us. Our guest today is Mike McKenzie, and he's the author of a book, nonfiction memoirs, I Held the Hand of Jesus in Heaven. And what a remarkable book. And today we are going to enjoy his visit as he tells us personally what happened. Hi, Mike.
Jim, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. Are you ready today?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's get started, Mike. Our guest, Mike McKenzie.
Okay, sure. This happened back in 2004. I went to my son's wedding, which was held in a city about 5 hours away from me. So we traveled down there on a Wednesday. The wedding was going to be on Saturday. And my older kids, the two older boys, wanted to play some baseball in the park. They were really into playing baseball. All my kids were all athletic. So they brought their wiffle balls and bats down there, and they wanted to play some home run derby in the park on the Wednesday afternoon when we got there. So I went over with them, swung the bat for a couple of hours, and just had a great time. And that night I started feeling sick, so I thought maybe I was coming down with the flu. Thursday I started feeling worse. Of course, Friday we had the rehearsal dinner, and I felt terrible by then. I was running a fever, and my son, my oldest son, the one that was getting married, it was in the medical field, and so we were sitting around after the rehearsal dinner trying to figure out what was going on, and he says, do you still have your appendix? It sounds like you might have appendicitis. And I said, well, yeah, I do, but I don't have the typical symptoms of appendicitis where you touch your belly and it hurts really bad. It didn't have the point tenderness. So I just kind of laughed that off, and I said, I think I'm getting the flu. So that night before the wedding, I didn't sleep at all. I was so miserable, tossing and turning. And I went down to the quick stop to get some Tylenol and some pink stuff and try and settle my stomach, and none of that worked. So that night I didn't sleep at all. And I thought, well, I'll go get checked out at the hospital after the wedding. You know, we're almost there. It's not that bad. I'll just power through it. So we go through the whole wedding. After the guests started leaving, I told my kids, I said, guys, I'm going to go to the hospital, get checked out. My son, who lived in that area, told me what hospital to go to. So I go get checked in. And, of course, Saturday night, it's, you know, really late. It might have been even Sunday morning by that time. It was very late. Of course, the hospital ER is packed. And they finally get me back there. And this nurse starts poking around. She says, well, it sounds like you've got appendicitis. Have you done anything, any unusual physical activity lately? And I said, well, I played baseball with my boys in the park on Wednesday. And she kind of looked at me like, oh my gosh, Wednesday? This is Saturday night. So that's 3.5 days. And she takes some blood, sends it back to the lab. She pokes around in my stomach, and she's asking me if any of that hurts. And I kind of laughed. I said, no, I think I just have the flu. But she took this mallet, like what they tap your knee with to check your reflexes. And she tapped the bottom of my foot, and she asked me if that hurt. And I said, no. I'm still kind of thinking, why are you doing that? There's nothing wrong with my feet. And she tapped the other foot, and I had pain in my abdomen that made me scream. And she says, okay, that's definitely your appendix. They probably ruptured, so I'm going to call in a surgeon. They call in the surgeon. He gets there probably about half an hour later. And he's poking around, and he says, well, the best thing to do is go in through your belly button, because I don't really know how bad it is until we get in there and see. So they get me ready for surgery. They wheel me down the hall. I said goodbye to my wife. They burst open the OR doors. They helped me slide over onto the surgical table. And just like that, as I look to my right, I'm expecting the anesthesiologist to come in or somebody, you know, medical personnel. They hadn't even put the mask on my face yet. I look to my right and Jesus walks through those doors. The physical person of Jesus, it's a physical man walking into that OR. And he walks up to me very slowly and he holds out his hand and he says, I want to answer your prayer. Now, I'm really confused because I haven't left my body. NDE people say they float away from their body. None of that ever happened. I was still in my physical body, and he's holding out his hand. And when he said, I want to answer your prayer, I was thinking, well, I just prayed with my wife that everything would go well with surgery, you know, that guide the surgeon's hands, you know, the kind of prayer that you would pray before you go into surgery. And now I'm thinking, Jesus is here. I don't think things are going to go pretty well. In fact, I'm probably dead. You know, that's what's going through my mind. I'm still thinking, you know, in my physical body. And as soon as I took his hand, we were instantly transported to this area where everything was white in front of me. But I looked down below me, and my feet are my bare feet. I'm still in this surgical gown, and my feet are standing on this beautiful green grass. I mean, the most beautiful grass I've ever seen. And my senses were heightened to the point where I could count every single blade of grass under my feet. I knew the number of blades touching my feet. And I thought, man, this is really, really weird. What is going on here? Everything is bright white. And so it almost looks like there's a white tunnel, because off in the distance, I see this thing. It looks like a giant pearl. So it's a round object. And it's shimmering and shiny, but it's pure white, like the rest of the white that's around me. And it starts sending these things that look like light tubes. They almost look like fluorescent light tubes, you know, like you put in your shop or your kitchen that you hang on the ceiling. But they're shimmering, and they're a little bit fatter than regular fluorescent tubes, and they're smooth on the end. And one of them's so they start zipping by me, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? One of them actually hits me in the forehead, and it goes through my head, and as it does, it makes this light buzzing sound, and it warms me, like, right down to my toes. I mean, it's hard to describe, but it's like this loving warmth, like getting a big warm hug. And then I look back where these things are coming from, and now all of a sudden, all that bright white that's in front of my face gets pulled from my right to my left. It's like somebody's pulling a great white curtain out of the way. And now, instead of that blinding white, I'm looking at the most beautiful scenery that I've ever seen. The hill that I'm standing on, the grass, gives way to these really cool-looking, pretty flowers. They're almost like sweet peas, and they're kind of moving like they're being blown in the wind back and forth, but there's no wind. So I thought that was odd, and they're pretty pastel colors. And at the bottom of that hill is a giant city, like had to be a mile across. But now that white that I was looking at that was blinding me is covering the city, almost like the city's enveloped in fog. So all I can see of the city are rooftops sticking through. And there was a big, great big golden dome almost in the middle of the city. There's a couple other smaller domes, golden domes around, and there's a lot of white that look like church steeples that are sticking through that fog. And I noticed that there were no crosses at the top, because I thought those would be churches, you know, but there are no crosses at the top of that, so I thought that was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the city, there's another great big mountain. And it's covered in these beautiful pine trees. And even from that far away, I can make out the details on the leaves or the needles or whatever. But they have like these lacy little details to them, almost like tiny pine needles. But they're not just one. There's like a whole bunch of them in clusters. And all of a sudden, and then above that is like, it's almost like the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen, but there was no sun. So there's all these purples and oranges and yellows and reds and there was blue at the top, and there were a few clouds, like kind of like wispy cirrus kind of clouds that were sort of floating. Just the most gorgeous sky I've ever seen. Colors that are hard to describe, but just gorgeous. And so now those light beams, like the one that hit me in the head, are going across the city, and it's almost like it's putting on this light show. So there's a whole bunch of them that go across the city, and one of them eventually hits the tip of one of those trees, and it's like the tip of the tree had a diamond on it, because when that light hit that tip, it burst into like fireworks, like white fireworks. And pretty soon another one of those things goes across the city and it hits the treetop, and it bursts into white fireworks. And so now I've got all these fireworks that are starting to pop over the city. It was just gorgeous against that colorful sky, these white fireworks. Man, I was just like, wow, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I look back kind of where they were coming from, and I'm still holding the hand of Jesus. And Jesus says to me, it's the glory of the Lord. And man, when he said that, I was just filled with emotion. I almost started bawling. And I got so weak in my knees that I fell to my knees. I couldn't stand. And as soon as I hit the ground with my knees, they shocked me and they brought me back. So now, instead of this beautiful scenery, I've got a doctor leaning over me wearing a mask, and he's asking me, do you know your name? And I answered him, but I answered just kind of in my head. I didn't verbalize. And I said, Mike, and he asked me again, do you know your name? And I finally answered verbally, although my mouth was so dry, I said, Mike. And he says, okay, good. Do you know where you are? And I had to think a minute, you know, because I thought, I was just in heaven, I think, with Jesus. You know, Jesus is gone. And I had to think back, okay, I was at the wedding. The wedding was in Ventura, California. So I told him Ventura, and he says, okay, good. And he looks around, and he says, he's back. And he kind of pats me on the leg, and he says, let's get him up to ER or ICU. And that's when I realized that there were other people in the room. There was about like five other nurses in the room, all wearing blue scrubs. And he says, let's get him up to ICU. So I ended up spending 4 days in ICU and 12 days in the hospital. I had some complications. And so that's pretty much what happened. There is a second part of my near-death experience that I didn't tell for the longest time. Like I told a few of my friends about this when I got home, and you know, they would sit down on the couch as I'm telling them this story. And I said, you know what? And then there's more to it, you know, and they're crying right along with me as I'm telling them. And I said, and then 24 hours later, I developed pneumonia, and Jesus came back to my hospital room. And this is where it gets weird, because he sat down at the end of my bed and told me things. And he said, I had to get you flat on your back, away from all the distractions, so you could hear me. And when I told my friends that part, about the three-hour conversation that I had with Jesus, their expressions went from, wow, this is amazing, and crying right along with me, to all of a sudden, their expression was like they didn't believe me. Like, what? You know, that can't happen, Mike. And after I told a couple of my friends that, I heard Jesus whisper in my ear, the same voice. He said, you don't have to tell this part yet. So I shut up about that part for years, like many, many years. And when I was reading the comment of one of the podcasts I had done, one of the comments said, you know what, you're an idiot or something, like, you know, calling me names. And he says, you just had a high-temperature hallucination. And I thought, okay, when Jesus sat down in my hospital room, I still had 104 fever. But when I started developing pneumonia, they rushed into my hospital room. they packed me in ice. They gave me oxygen. They gave me a spirometer to breathe into to get my air into my lungs. And after 1 hour, the nurse checked my temperature, and it was down to 100. And that's not high enough to have a hallucination. And Jesus sat there for 2 more hours. So I know it wasn't high temperature hallucination. And when I read that comment, I heard Jesus say, now's the time to tell your story. Tell the whole story. Hold nothing back. The world is ready, and so are you. And that's when I wrote the book, I Held the Hand of Jesus in Heaven. And I've been telling the whole story now, just like he said, because I kind of lost credibility when I told that part with my friends, and Jesus didn't want that part of the story out for whatever reason. But I think now people are more open to listening to near-death experiences, and you know there are obviously some fake ones out there. There are some that don't give honor to Jesus, but that's what my encounter is. I give Jesus all the glory for this one. And healing me, I mean, it was kind of a miraculous healing in the hospital. I beat pneumonia in 3 hours, which is, I don't know if that's ever been done before. Maybe it has through a miracle healing, but that was definitely a miracle. So my message to everybody out there is Jesus is real. Jesus is a real person. He's a real God. And he's reaching for you.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. To the glory of God, and that he's real. And these experiences, for many people, of course, is real. It's and real for sinner or saint.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing is, Jim, you don't really have to have a near-death experience to have an encounter with Jesus. I mean, I started a podcast where I'm talking to people about Jesus encounters, and you know, sometimes he'll show up in dreams. He'll show up. Like I just talked to this one lady where he showed up in her room, like in a physical body. She wasn't sick at all, but it was time for her to hear some truth. And you know, Jesus can do whatever he wants. He is definitely God, and he can pull off some miracles and things like that. Just blow me away how real he really is. It did kind of shock me. Like, when he walked through those OR doors, that was not the Jesus that I had seen growing up as a kid. You know, a kid in North America, I was always shown in the children's Bibles a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. And the man that walked in, the Jesus that walked into the ER, or the operating room, was dark-skinned. He looked like an Arab man. He had dark brown wavy hair just past his shoulder, and he had a short beard, and his skin was much darker than what I had been shown. But you know, when I first started learning about Jesus, I was 5 years old, so I didn't know. You know, he's from, people say, well, he's from the Middle East, he wouldn't be blonde-haired, blue-eyed. But as a kid, it didn't really matter to me. But his eyes were a very dark green with greenish blue, more green than blue, but his eyes were beautiful. And when his eyes looked into my eyes, he looked into my soul. And I knew immediately that it was Jesus, no matter what I'd been shown as a kid. And when he said, I want to answer your prayer, I had forgotten this for a couple of days. I was thinking, well, what prayer was he there to answer? And then I remembered, when I was 5 years old, I went to my grandfather's funeral, and the priest is talking about how my grandfather was in heaven now, and there was no more tears, there was no sorrow, sadness, no pain in heaven. And I remember, I was starting to learn about God as a five-year-old, and I remember asking God to show me heaven. And that became a nightly prayer that I prayed and asked God for probably 10 years. I mean, every single night, God, you haven't shown me heaven yet. I want to see it. You know, not thinking that you had to die to go to heaven. I figured God could just show you heaven, and, you know, because I wanted to see it. I wanted to know what it was all about, and not really knowing what I was asking for. I certainly wasn't asking to die, but I wanted to see it. And I remember that I used to ask him that all the time. And I used to always ask him to show me the glory of the Lord too, because we watched this Charlie Brown Christmas special one time as a family. And when Linus came out on stage and talked about the glory of the Lord shown all around them, I thought, whoa, what does that look like? You know, I want to see that too. So that was kind of a prayer that I added along with, you know, God, show me heaven. And hey, I want to see the glory of the Lord too. That sounds really cool. And it was.
That the people, they scratch their head and doubt your credibility. But I myself have experienced it, and it was absurd. It had happened, and I wouldn't want to deny the Holy Spirit or what God was showing me. I wouldn't want to deny that. As I was telling you before, and it was not part of our recording now, is that I was in a service in another country where they brought up a woman that was a witch, and her family were witches and so forth, and they called her a streetwalker, and she wanted delivered. So as I went to pray for her, God appeared up to my right shoulder, a bright light. I couldn't look. I couldn't turn my head. But he said this about her. She is perfect. She is perfect. And then he said, I am proud of her. And the force of love that bounced off of her from what God said. He said it to her, and it bounced off of her and hit me. And I started to get weak, like I was going to fall down. It was a real experience.
You know, the way that God saw that woman is the way he sees everybody. You know, he loves us so much more than we can possibly imagine. You know, I think God, in this country, in this day and age, I think God kind of gets a bad rap. People look at God as, you know, slapping us when we do something bad. God forgives us. If we have Jesus as our Savior, we are going to stand before him as sinless creatures. And no matter what we do, it's not going to change that relationship. God loves us that much and wants us all to live with him for eternity, which is something else that, you know, we weren't created with a mind to comprehend eternity or heaven or God. So it's hard to imagine that God could love us that much, you know, to spend forever with us. But he's not looking to condemn us. He wants us all to find Jesus as our Savior, and when we stand before him on Judgment Day, Jesus can be right there with me and live with God forever. So that's the ultimate goal, you know, for me anyway, to share Jesus and to share the hope that I have in him. You know, one of the things that Jesus said is, when you step out in faith, the enemy steps up his attack. That was during our three-hour conversation, because he told me he wanted me to do more for his kingdom. And he told me that millions would hear our story, and I actually laughed, and I said, I'm not Billy Graham. I can't do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why he said, you don't have to tell that part of the story yet. And when he did tell me, the world is ready and so are you, I thought back, okay, during the last 20 years, what's happened to the world? First of all, YouTube came around, and now a lot of people share their NDE stories on YouTube. And for me, I wasn't comfortable talking to crowds, especially talking about Jesus. I mean, I kept, you know, I was just a Sunday Christian. I didn't share my faith all the time. And I was very uncomfortable talking about Jesus. But during those 20 years that God gave me the gift of the NDE, and he started working on me and my heart, and now I'll talk to anybody about Jesus. I don't care where I am, who's listening. You know, the bigger the audience, the better. So Jesus is real, and he can certainly change your life, no matter where you are in your life, you know, no matter what's going on in your life. You take Jesus into your heart, and he can change any circumstance. But he may not change it right away, and he may not answer your prayers right away. This prayer that I prayed took 40 years to answer. But gosh, what's 40 years to God, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So you put this all into a book, and that book we can get on Amazon.
Yeah, find it on Amazon. It was when it came out in September, it debuted on my birthday, September 2nd, and it became a bestseller in 2 months. So Jesus was right. Millions are hearing our story, you know, whether it's through the book or YouTube or radio shows like yours, Jim. It's amazing how this story can resonate with people, that Jesus is real. And if I don't lead somebody to Christ, I want to be the mustard seed in their life that says, okay, I better, you know, this story is really cool. I'm going to look into Jesus for myself and make that decision to follow him on your own. But he's reaching for you. He didn't just reach for me. He's reaching for everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jim and his audience. Thank you for everyone who's tuned in. Lord, Jesus reaches us all in different ways. Some people that will never set foot inside a church tune into YouTube and to the radio, and we still want to reach those people with the message of the hope of Jesus. Jesus saves, and he is reaching for everyone in different ways. Everybody comes to the Lord in different ways, but we want everyone to know that Jesus loves them. Jesus is real, and Jesus is reaching for them. So, Father, we ask that you touch these lives and touch these hearts and bring them home into your family. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
There's room at the cross for you. I know there's room at the cross for you.
Our guest today was Mike McKenzie, the author of the new nonfiction memoir, I Held the Hand of Jesus in Heaven. It is available now on Amazon and at major bookstores everywhere.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
If you would like to hear more of our radio broadcasts like you heard today, you can go to globalairforce.net. That is globalairforce.net. Thank you.
There's still room for one. Yes, there's room.